ask the Lord's help first.
We want to thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have the Holy Scriptures. We thank you that you've given them to us, inspired and preserved. A blessing to us to have. And we're asking now, Father, that we can learn some important things we may not have met, we may not have learned before. So teach us, we pray, your holy word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 11. Therefore, loosing from Troas, Acts chapter 16, verse 11, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath day we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So we're interested in this discipline, this lovely act of obedience to the Lord this evening. And I want to talk to you about what she did. She had in common an act of godliness with these people here. Lydia did what Abraham and Rahab and Jael and Mary and Martha and Priscilla and Aquila and Gaius and Lot and Laban and Jethro and probably quite a few other people in the Bible. And I want you to tell me what it is they all did. No answers. Joy. Well, they did, and we have a word for that. What do we call it? Well, actually, she gave him butter in a dish and a place to sleep. Oh, it was questionable there, all right. But what do we call this? We call it
hospitality.
So I want to talk to you about hospitality this evening. It's a Bible topic. In fact, five references in the New Testament. Let's have a quick look at these. With her inviting Paul and Paul and Silas, Luke is with them now. Would you have a look? This is so interesting. In verse 8 in this chapter, Luke speaks of this group of men. They, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And then when we get down to verse 10, and after he, Paul, had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored. There's a change here. They becomes we. And we don't know how it was that Luke joined the party. But there are seven times he talks about they in this part of the chapter, and eight times he talks about we and us. We endeavored to go into Macedonia, surely gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So Luke is there with them. And so we have this example of hospitality. Look in Romans chapter 12 and verse 13. It's good for us to take note of words like hospitality. Chapter 12 in Romans, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. There's our word. And then look also with me. We'll just look at these quickly. We want to look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. This is one of the passages that talks about the necessity of pastors being hospitable. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. We find it also in Titus, two books further over. We have the qualifications for a pastor repeated here in chapter 1 and verse 8. It says about a bishop from verse 7 and verse 8, but a lover of hospitality. Lover of hospitality. 1 Peter chapter 4, come over here with me just for a moment. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 9, we have here given these instructions where the Lord says to us here, as every man hath received the gift. No, that's not the verse, is it? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. I've gotten the wrong verse, so I apologize for that. There. Okay, verse 9. I was reading verse 10. Thank you very much, my dear wife. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And then Hebrews, come back over to the left. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2. Five references in the New Testament. In chapter 13 and verse 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. And there's the word for hospitality. Same Greek word. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Entertain strangers. And that gives us a definition of hospitality, because hospitality is, it makes so much sense. I've never linked it up in my mind, but hospitality is related to the word hospital. So treating someone, caring for them as though they were in a hospital. In fact, the word host is related to our English word for hospitality. And so there are many interesting things in this regard. I was really interested. We have a favorite town we like to go to in the States when we're there, and it's Xenia, X-E-N-I-A, Ohio. And the word Xenia means foreigner, somebody from somewhere else. And I read up on the history of Xenia, Ohio today, and it was a little town that as it incorporated, they were trying to think what name to put on it. And they had two names. One of them meant hospitality, which was the word Xenia, Greek word Xenia. And then there was another name. And when they voted, it came to a tie. And so they said to someone, would you break the tie? And this lady said, I vote for Xenia. And that's how it got its name. And it means hospitable. It means hospitality. I was looking up the word. It means fond of guests, liking to have guests, love for strangers. It's a word that means one bound, a host is one bound by ties of hospitality. So when I was looking at this, then I was thinking a lot about what's involved in hospitality. What do we do when we show hospitality toward others, when we have people into our house? And there was some really interesting things came up. One of the things we first think about is that we give them food. We feed them. If we have someone come to our house, we like to feed them or give them a drink. You just about can't go into an Aussie's house without them saying, I want a cup of tea. I mean, that's just almost like hello. In fact, there used to be here in Melinda a chap. Do any of you remember seeing a young chap, probably in his 20s, that walked all over town? Do you remember seeing him? Just always walking, coming and going. And I made it a point to get acquainted with him. And I would stop and talk to him. And I would wave at him and found out his name. And one day he came walking down our street. And I saw him. So I went outside and I said, hot day. I said, hey, would you like a cold drink? And he said, oh, I'd love a cold drink. That's simple hospitality, isn't it? Food and drink is simple hospitality. But shelter is also a big part of hospitality, because oftentimes someone needs a place to stay. Clothing is another need that people have. Let me show you two verses along this line. Look with me in 1 John chapter 3 and verses 16 to 18. I want to encourage you. In fact, many of you are so hospitable, so helpful to strangers. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, food, drink, clothing, shelter, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So I have to confess my sins to you. All right? Aidan preached on Sunday night about us needing to do what we don't enjoy doing. Do you remember that? about needing to do what we don't want to do. The Lord wants us to do something, and we don't want to do it. So, Abby, you got to go home and tell him that Grandpa got convicted about this. See? So on the way to church, as I was coming to church, before I even heard this sermon, John Coughlin, I shouldn't have said that on the tape, should I? John got in the car with me, and he said, I've got to go to the hospital after church tonight. And it sort of went by me like this. I didn't sort of register. So when he got in the car to go home after church, he said, can you take me to the hospital? And inside of me, the old nature says, no, I don't want to go to the hospital. I don't want to do this. I want to go home and go to bed. I'm tired. I want to go home and go to bed. And then the words of the sermon from Sunday night. Oh, yes, I remember that sermon. Okay. And so we went to the hospital. And do you have any idea how busy the emergency room is at the hospital? And this night, it was really busy. Two ambulances, a police car, police, a medic, the whole thing. Everybody was so busy. So we went to the emergency, went into the door there at the emergency ward, and the lady says, you have to go down the hallway there, and you have to talk to that lady down there, and then come back down here. And so we did, and so the nurse came and said, what's the problem? And John showed her his toe, and she said, look, you'll have to wait. And so we waited. And we waited, and we waited, and the clock is going tick, 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 tick. And we waited, and we waited, and we waited, and we waited. And after about an hour and a half, she came and she said, we are so busy. We have so many people that have to be cared for that it's probably going to be a couple of hours before we can see you. And by this time, the clock is getting way past my bedtime. My mummy doesn't let me stay up that late. And so I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I give, I yield, I'll do whatever you say. I'm here. If you have this world's goods and you don't help your brother, well, shame on you. How dwelleth the love of God in Buddy Smith? So I said, okay, Lord, I surrender. And the nurse came back and said, why don't you come back in the morning? There won't be anybody here in the morning. Come early. And I said, yes, let's come back in the morning. Let's come back in the morning. I'll take you home tonight. And we'll come back in the morning, and I'll get up early, and I'll bring you over. And so he said, okay, we'll come back in the morning. So we went back in the morning. I dropped him off. I had to go somewhere else. Susan came and picked him up, and the Lord just sort of hammered me. So please tell Aiden that I was smitten with conviction. That's not all. Look with me in the book of James. Please read with me in James chapter 2. Because this is actually a theme that is in Scripture about caring for other people. James chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, oh, here's someone that needs a Christian brother or sister to take care of them. Verse 16, and one of you say unto them, you'll be right, mate, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Well, I'm thinking about this, but I want you to come back for a minute to 1 John chapter 2. We possibly should have looked at James first, but look at 1 John chapter 2. Because this verse, it's not 1 John chapter 2, which verse is it? Chapter 3, isn't it? Because verse 16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So where does hospitality come from? Well, it comes from the Lord loving us. He shows hospitality to us. So then we're to turn around and show hospitality to someone else. Food, clothing, shelter. All of those things, care, comfort, counsel. I didn't get to read you all the definitions that I had written down. The cost. You know, some of the hospitality the Lord wants us to show to others is indirect, because the Good Samaritan showed hospitality to the wounded man in the Gospel of Luke, in that he bound up his wounds, poured in oil and wine. Well, that's good. Set him on his own beast, took him to the inn. But then he had to show hospitality indirectly by saying to the innkeeper, here's 2 days' wages, take care of him. Well, that would have been shelter, food, comfort, medicine, possibly. And I'll be back. And if you need more, I'll do that. So hospitality oftentimes is direct and it's indirect. And we have opportunity to do things for others indirectly. There are times when we have to do that. Giving to help them on their way. I really love this. We've got to go and look at this. Look in 3 John with me. John writes this letter to Gaius, and it's beautiful to read. And he tells him, have a look with me here in verse 3, 3 John 3. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. Even as thou walkest in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Oh, hospitality. Which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Well, isn't that another passage that teaches us to be hospitable? I have another note or two I want to share with you, so let me just go back here and look. Did you know that the greatest act of hospitality ever seen in the universe is the Lord Jesus inviting us to come and live in his house with him forever? My Father's house has many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And then in Matthew 25, when he's giving the parable of the sheep and the goats, one of the commendable things he says about the righteous was, I was a stranger and you took me in. That's hospitality, isn't it? That's altogether what that is. I wish I had copies. I've got to see if I can get some more copies, but I need to buy some more copies of the book about R.C. Chapman, Robert Cleaver Chapman. It's called Agape Leadership. I wish I had 100 copies to give away. I bought, I don't know how many copies, it makes no difference. But he was called at the age of 29 years old to be a pastor of a Baptist church. He was a brethren, brother. And they called him to be their pastor. He was not married. He never married. He pastored that church for 65 years. Can you imagine that? He was in his 90s when he passed away. The church loved him and loved his preaching. And they said to him, you need a house. We want to buy a manse for you to live in. He said, well, buy a big one because I'm going to take care of tired, worn out old missionaries and pastors and evangelists. I want to wash their clothes and iron their clothes. I want to polish their shoes and I want to feed them. Would you buy a big house, please? And they did. And for years and years and years and years and years, he did just exactly that. Hudson Taylor, Charles Spurgeon, others that were his contemporaries, George Mueller, said that he was the godliest man they ever met. They never met anybody like that. He was so hospitable. His brother came to visit. I'll stop with this. There's too much to tell. His brother came to visit, and he saw what R.C. Chapman was doing for people. And he said to him, I want to help you. I'm leaving, but I want to buy some groceries so that you have food to feed these people that you take care of. Worn out missionaries and pastors and evangelists. And so Robert Chapman said to him, that would be a help. Would you be sure to buy it from that grocer? His brother said, certainly. So he went to that grocer and he ordered a large order of groceries. He bought a lot. And then he said to the grocer, here's where I want this delivered. And he gave him Robert Chapman's address and name. And the grocer said, are you sure? He said, I have hated that man. And he said, in fact, when he was preaching on the street corner, I yelled and swore at him and called him names. Are you sure? And Chapman's brother said definitely. He asked particularly that I buy the groceries from you. Well, it broke that man. And when he delivered the groceries, he wept and was converted, very soon converted, because Chapman was showing hospitality, and that man got caught up in the net. It's a great thing to be hospitable to people. Now, Susan and I have tried to do that, and I remember there were times when we didn't entertain heavenly angels, we entertained some diabolic fallen angels. And I'll tell you that story another day. We had a lady staying with us one time who was not a diabolic angel, but she thought she had settled in for the rest of her life, and we had to encourage her to find a flat. And that's, you know, necessary. We have an opportunity to train the people that are with us not only to receive hospitality, but go somewhere and show hospitality. It's important, isn't it? So, Lord, help us. We thank you for Lydia. We don't hear anything else of her in Scripture. We know so little about her. We'd love to know more. But we thank you for her example. We thank you for the verses in Scripture. We thank you for Old Testament and New Testament saints of God that knew how to care for strangers, and they loved strangers. They cared for people they'd never met before. What a wonderful thing it will be to be in heaven with people that we've had opportunity to host, to show hospitality toward, and some of those have come to faith in Christ. And so we're asking, Lord, that you'd help us, our families, have this great opportunity of loving people. And so help us, we pray. Teach us your word. Teach us how to have grace. Give us some more Robert Cleaver Chapmans in this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.